Hello and welcome to Curie. I'm your host, Matt, and today we're covering three important developments in oncology. We'll start with a study highlighting the critical role of measurable residual disease, MRD, monitoring in AML, why early MRD negativity matters, and how it impacts stem cell transplant decisions. Then we'll take a deep dive into a new analysis of early phase cancer trials exploring the hard truth about how many experimental treatments actually received FDA approval. And finally, we'll discuss the growing push for hospital-at-home care, what it means for oncology, and whether it's a step forward or a potential risk for cancer patients. Let's get started. First up, let's talk about measurable residual disease, or MRD, in AML. It's well known that achieving MRD negativity, meaning no detectable leukemia cells after treatment, is linked to better long-term outcomes. But a new study from MD Anderson Cancer Center is giving us a clearer picture of just how much timing matters when it comes to clearing it. The study found that patients who achieved MRD negativity early after induction therapy had a median relapse-free survival of 73 months. In contrast, those who took longer to reach MRD negativity had an RFS of just 22 months. That's a huge difference. And even among patients who went on to receive allogeneic stem cell transplantation, early MRD negativity was still strongly associated with better outcomes. So what does this mean for oncologists? MRD isn't just a post-treatment check. It's an evolving biomarker that could guide treatment decisions in real time. If a patient clears MRD early, it might suggest they're responding well to therapy, whereas delayed MRD clearance could prompt a shift in treatment strategy or early referral for transplantation. As MRD monitoring becomes more widespread, oncologists will need to consider not just whether patients achieve MRD negativity, but how quickly it happens. Now, shifting from leukemia to a tough reality check about early phase cancer trials, a new study analyzed data from 400 phase 2 oncology trials and found that only 16.2% of patients received a treatment that eventually gained FDA approval. If you include off-label NCCN recommended drugs, the success rate rises slightly to 19.4%. But here's where it gets even more sobering. If you only consider treatments with substantial clinical benefit, the approval rate drops to just 9.3%. For oncologists and patients considering early phase trials, these numbers underscore an uncomfortable but necessary reality. The vast majority of experimental treatments will not reach the market. And while phase 2 trials help identify promising new therapies, they also involve risk and uncertainty. So how should oncologists approach this with their patients? Clinical trial participation is still critical for advancing cancer treatment, but expectations should be managed carefully. When discussing trial options, it's important to highlight that while early phase studies offer access to cutting-edge treatments, the likelihood of long-term success is low. This data should also push researchers to refine how we prioritize and design clinical trials to increase the efficiency of bringing effective therapies to market. And finally, let's talk about the growing trend of hospital-at-home care, something that could reshape how we think about inpatient treatment. The hospital-at-home model has been gaining traction, with projections that up to 30% of inpatient care could be delivered at home by 2050. The idea is simple. Rather than keeping patients in the hospital for extended stays, eligible patients receive acute-level care in their own homes, supported by remote monitoring, home visits, and telehealth. For conditions like congestive heart failure, pneumonia, and COPD, HH programs have already shown fewer complications, lower costs, and improved patient satisfaction. And in oncology, there's growing interest in whether certain cancer treatments, like some immunotherapies or oral chemotherapy regimens, could be administered safely at home. But not everyone is on board. Nurses, unions, and some healthcare experts have raised concerns that hospital at home could reduce the level of hands-on care patients receive and shift costs onto patients and families. There's also the question of whether all patients have equal access to the resources needed for safe at-home care, particularly in rural or low-income areas. So is this a game changer or a risky bet? For oncologists, the key question is whether certain cancer treatments and supportive care measures can be effectively delivered outside of the hospital setting. While HAH may work well for some conditions, many cancer patients, especially those receiving high-intensity chemotherapy or managing immunosuppression, still require frequent hospital monitoring. As this model expands, oncologists will need to stay engaged in shaping policies that balance convenience with safety. And that wraps up today's episode of Kiri. From MRD monitoring and AML to the reality of phase 2 clinical trials and the debate over hospital at home care, these stories highlight the ongoing evolution of cancer treatment and patient care. If you're listening on the Kiri app, thanks for being part of the community. Be sure to come back next time for more expert insights and breaking oncology updates. If you're tuning in from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or another platform, check out the Kiri app for a personalized, clutter-free experience designed specifically for oncology professionals. You'll find the App Store link in the episode description. We'd love to have you join us. Until next time, stay curious and keep making a difference.